The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host, Julie Krafchik. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything, from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. We are excited you've joined us for an older episode. While our earlier seasons were all about dating in San Francisco, we quickly realized all the themes and learnings are universal for all daters. So we shifted to covering dating from all around the world as the seasons progress. The fun part is, things happen first in San Francisco, the tech epicenter and counterculture capital of the world. We love for you to keep tuning in to our older episodes, but there is no set order to listen in. So feel free to jump to more recent seasons or relevant episodes for you. Enjoy the show.
Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
This episode of Dateable is brought to you by 500 Brunches. Meet like-minded people who share your interests over brunch. The Dateable podcast was started by a group of friends who were sharing SF dating stories one day and thought, why don't we start a dating podcast? So, ta-da, here we are. Enjoy our first episode. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show that opens up a candid conversation about dating in San Francisco.
And next to me, I have the wonderful woman who is in, she's in some sort of yoga attire, but yet button-down shirt, very wonderful combination. Her name is UA.
And next to me, we've got, I don't know what you're wearing, 10 years of funny San Francisco Improv Fest shirt. Because he is the king of improv, Michael Vargas. I like to say his last name a lot. Oh. And we've also got a room full of people you guys can't see, but we have an audience today drinking mimosas and eating chocolate-covered pretzels. So it's going to be good.
These pretzels are actually really tasty. Each episode, we dissect a dating story. And today, we have a good buddy of mine. His name is Kurt. And yes, ladies, he is very handsome.
Ow! Kurt, give us your stats.
And he's also very bashful, very shy, and very humble.
We see you, Kurt. You are there.
So, Kurt, if I'm not mistaken, you have a little bit of a story for us today.
Let's see. So several years ago, I met a girl at a party, and we pretty instantaneously hit it off. Flirting, and spent a good portion of the night together. So we had hit it off, but then we kept on living in different cities. She was visiting the city, and then I moved away, and then we moved back. But we always kept in touch, and whenever we were in the same city, we were always really excited to see each other. So then fast forward to what's now about a year ago, we were finally living in the same city here in San Francisco, living in the same city for the first time. And so we started seeing each other like more, a bit more seriously, I guess. Except that it would go back and forth between us being really excited to see each other and being broken up, like literally like 1 week to the next.
So just back and forth. Yes, we're on. Today we're off. Tomorrow we're on.
Right. Exactly.
Were you guys sleeping together?
Yeah.
Okay. Just clarifying.
So it was mostly kind of her having commitment stuff.
Right. And I think in fairness as well, I hadn't actually been in a serious relationship in a few years at that point. And so I think I was definitely you know, like forgetting what it was like to be a good boyfriend, I guess. But one, so one example, we went to this like really fancy holiday party, like, you know, out with all our friends. And, you know, we were like really excited to go to this party together. And then by the end of the night, she was, you know, she literally said like, I never want to see you again. And the reason from her perspective is she thought that I was like flirting with all of her friends. And I think like I do have a fairly flirtatious personality. So that was the end of the night, with, you know, us leaving separately together, not leaving together. And then I forget what exactly brought us back together again, but then we did end up starting to see each other again for a bit. And so we were seeing each other regularly, and then I asked her to, like, you know, officially be my girlfriend, and then she was like, yeah, like, I'm really excited about that.
Hooray!
Yeah, so awesome. And then like 2 weeks later, she was like, I want to break up. And so I was like, okay. And so funny, just funny aside, I guess, we were talking about, like, you know, why she, like, wasn't interested in the relationship, and she cited a bunch of things, but generally felt like I wasn't committed to the relationship. And like one example of this was like that I didn't change my relationship status on Facebook to be like in a relationship.
Interesting. Okay. Modern day problem. Interesting.
And so my reply to this is like, you know, look, we've been on and off for, you know, a few years, like this literally is exactly why I didn't change my relationship status, is because I basically expected this to happen. And then two weeks after that, I'm just out at some bar with some friends, and we run into each other just completely randomly. And we're like, we're really excited to see each other. You know, we're like kissing, holding hands, being very coupley. So she already has plans to go to another bar with her friends, but I'm like, you know, why don't you come over tonight, like after that? And she's like, yeah, I would love to. So then we're texting a bit. And then she gets into a cab with her friends to go to the next bar. And literally a minute after she leaves, she texts me and is like, I don't think we should be friends anymore. And then the following week, she texts me and is like, hey, do you want to talk about being friends sometime? And so then I sent her the screen cap of the text that she sent a previous week ago. When she was like, I don't want to be friends. And that's basically where our relationship ended.
Have you seen each other since?
No, we have not.
Wait, so this is very interesting, because I'm just going to give you my female perspective of this. I've definitely done this. Not because I wanted to be a crazy bitch on purpose, but really I needed something from the guy and I just didn't know how to verbalize it. And in this situation, it really sounds like she needed your attention and she needed your commitment, but she needed something more definitive, some sort of like affirmation, like, I want to be with you. I want to commit to you. I want you to be my girlfriend. I want to be with you.
And so, Kurt, I got a question for you. Is there anything looking back on it that you think she needed?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I hadn't been in a relationship for a few years, and so like I feel like when I made it official, you know, it was like, do you want to be my girlfriend? Like nothing substantive changed about our relationship after that point, or like not a lot. And so I think she just wanted more, you know, UA, kind of what you're saying. She wanted more demonstration. Like, okay, what does this mean that we're actually in a relationship?
So define the terms of the contract.
Right. Exactly.
And also she wanted it to be public. Now, in this day and age, everyone's very careful about changing their relationship status. Like you said, you were like, I saw this coming, so I didn't change my status. Like, you're very preemptive in this whole situation. Changing your relationship status on Facebook is almost legally binding in some way, right?
It's like the fifth signature of the contract at that point.
Yeah, and nobody does it anymore. Nobody changes a relationship status anymore.
Mm-mm.
Except for when you're like
married.
Yeah. That's when you're like, I'm in it. You know, like there's no
way.
All
right, guys, back off, right?
Yeah.
And what, you know, and for you, Kurt, like it sounds like you were also in a very tough position as well, because it sounds like you were trying to do elements of that, right? You were trying to do elements of more consistency. And so you got a lot of like back and forth, and in a variety of ways. So I imagine that that was hard to figure out what to do with when it was so ever changing.
Yeah, it was, and I think I've heard this concept of love languages, how different people express love.
All five
ways.
Of them,
right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think there was an element of that in this relationship, because so when we had this breakup talk where she was like, I don't want to be in a relationship anymore. We kind of talked about this, how she like wanted more expression. And so I told her, I was like, my previous girlfriends, I'd buy them flowers out of the blue and things like that. And she was like, yeah, I don't really like flowers.
Acts of service or gifts.
Right? Yeah, something like that. And so I did actually ask her like, what would you prefer me to do instead? And I don't really recall that line of conversation going anywhere in particular.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that have a hard time identifying what it is that they would like to receive that showcase love. Mm-hmm. Some people, again, we've talked about the five love languages previously, but sometimes it's really hard to know what we want. And also what we actually like to give may sometimes be different than what we actually like to receive.
Right? Definitely. And I think in this case, you guys just obviously didn't communicate clearly enough. When you understand what you need, then you need to also understand how to ask for it from the other partner. And it just didn't sound like you guys were actually communicating on the same frequency.
Can the producer say?
Yes.
So we actually have a comment from our producer, Julie. Producer Julie, do you have any words?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys have like heard of the rules and any of the awful dating books that are out there for females, but it feels this girl was just like reading out of a like that's when you told the story. It feels like she was like, I'm not getting the attention I need. I'm going to do this.
I'm going to pull
because
back.
This book told me to do X, Y, and Z because men like the chase. With these types of books and like the kind of the advice that's given to females, this is how they should act. Like, you're saying this did not make you feel good, but was there anything about it that kept you intrigued?
I wouldn't say that I enjoyed the crazy. I mean, certainly it made it, I certainly thought about it more just because, okay, this is requiring more mental effort and emotional effort. But I think what I would say to that is I'm already interested in her. Yeah. So like playing these games wouldn't make me more intrigued.
And the unfortunate thing about this too is that not only do women have books that they read and then they go play by the rules of the cray, but so do us guys. I mean, there's a lot of people know about pickup artists, and that's unfortunately a lot of elements of manipulation and ending for it to be an end goal. And so a lot of guys follow that format, and that kind of causes a lot of destruction as well. So I think we as men and women have a lot of dirty laundry to clean out.
Let's hold that thought for a sec. We'll get right back to it.
Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at ViaHemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Via gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Via also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to ViaHemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from ViaHemp.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/dateable.
If you love Dateable, we have a podcast you have to check out. Seeing Other People was created to help you feel less alone and more empowered by your dating life. Hosted by your soon-to-be favorite internet big sis, Alana Dunn, an early Hinge employee, modern dater, and now a fiance, is here to guide you through whatever you're going through. And she covers the gamut of topics, from anti-dating rules, how she went from being an anxious dater to in a secure, healthy relationship, and navigating dating burnout. On Tuesdays, Alana brings on expert guests like dating coaches, matchmakers, psychologists, and more. And on Thursdays, Alana is joined by anonymous real-life daters who bear it all and open up about what they faced in their love lives and what they wish they knew going through it. Seeing Other People will help you change your dating mindset, develop healthy dating habits, and make you feel like you actually can find what you're looking for. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday.
Those books should just go away.
Those books
forever.
Should die. Kurt, I do have another thought for you. Yes. So every time she pulled away, why didn't you fight harder for her?
I think there are a few elements to that. You know, one is just, you know, I'm busy in my own life. Like I only have so much
bandwidth.
Yeah, bandwidth. And if you're gonna make this like so difficult for me, I'm just, this, you know, this isn't worth it that much to me. But thinking about this other situations that I've been in too, is I feel like as the guy, you also have this kind of fear of being like a stalker or a creeper. And
yep.
So if a woman is saying, mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, right, because
absolutely.
If you, right, where is the line between like fighting for somebody, like, you know, do you write them like love poems or something? And then they're like they're talking to their friends, and then this like fucking weirdo dude is writing me these.
So your ego is in the way, or like a little pride.
I would say it's not ego.
No.
I would say on Kurt's behalf that when we watch movies and it's love movies, there's this guy that's like, dude, like looking in binoculars on top of a tree with a mustache on his face, right? And like all this montage of all these things that this guy's doing that's extreme, yet the movies do a great job of making it look adorable if they want to, right? Like they're good at making it look like, okay, he's really fighting for her. And then on the other hand, they're really good at making it look like, oh, this person's neurotic, they're obsessive and all that stuff. So it's very difficult to find that actual line of when you want to put in energy to the point of you're actually trying to work hard for this person to the point where it's like just too much.
Right. I totally agree with that. I mean, love is an obsession in a lot of ways. And so if you're making the distinction between, you know, when is somebody obsessed in a negative way and obsessed in a positive way, it ultimately depends on what the outcome is, right? Is this wanted attention or unwanted?
I do feel like a lot of people want that grand gesture, right? It's not just about you saying, no, let's not break up. I want to be with you. But in some ways, we want to fantasize about this grand gesture you're going to make to fight for our love, like to get us back, show up at our door with flowers.
And riding on a horse.
Or like hold a boombox. Next to our window, in the rain. I don't know. I fantasize about that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. How much would you have to like someone to make a grand gesture like that?
Well, so what I'll say to that is I've definitely done that, having had a relationship and then being at the point of breaking up. Just answering that question, we would have had more relationship history.
I agree with that. The amount of time that's already established in it, allowing for the more comfort and more understanding of the people.
Can I interject with one more question? Because there's always this comment of the grand gesture from the guy, which is seen romantic. But then if the woman does it, it's totally seen as stalkerish and crazy.
I don't think that's true. I think the same rules kind of generally apply. Like, I remember one time I was dating someone and we didn't see each other in a while. She was super busy. I was super busy. And I thought that she wasn't going to be able to hang out. And then, so I hang out with some friends and then she comes to the house and she brings all this food and she's ready to hang out with me. And that was
food is a good call.
Especially for me. If any listeners here want to make me happy, just give me food. And so
good to know.
Just a plug. It's a little plug for me. It wasn't tremendously grand, but that was something that was really nice and well received. And it made me feel fantastic. So I think it's totally able for that to happen. I'd love to ask you, Kurt, what is your takeaway from all this? Now that we've had a little bit of a discussion about, you know, your experience, what is something that you're taking away?
I guess I would say based on Yue's advice, I should be more courageous.
Good job, Yue.
Single-handedly changing
one man at a time. That's a good one. Fighting for what you want, right?
Right.
And being willing to take more of a stance into what is it that you really care about. And, you know, whether it works out or not, at least you know that you gave more of your all. And I think that's tremendous.
My takeaway from this is before you say something that could potentially hurt your relationship or hurt your partner, make sure, one, you really mean it. Two, you have something to back it up. And three, you have a resolution for it. So if I say something like, I don't think we should be together anymore. I need to give reasons for it. And two, what are the chances that we could make this work, right? So I think a lot of times we say things out of spite and then we regret it later. And then we have to like retrace our steps. And it's not easy to, once the words are out, mm-hmm. you can't get them back.
So that means put yourselves in timeouts, folks. Timeouts work wonderfully. My takeaway is the idea of really getting to just try. I think giving it the old college try and looking at ourselves at what level that we do that in is important. Meaning, am I going to go wild and crazy for someone that I just met? Or is it going to take me time before I let out the cray? You know? So I think context is a big factor. And I think it's something that we should all observe.
We're going to do one question of the day.
This question of the day comes from Samantha Jones.
Samantha Jones? Like from Sex and the City?
She totally used a fake name on us. That's okay.
Sure, Samantha Jones. Go for it, Michael.
So Samantha Jones asks, why are people so afraid of commitment?
That's ironic for Samantha Jones.
We have very ironic listeners. So Kurt, why are people so afraid of commitment? By the way, folks, just so you know, Kurt's knee is on top of me right now. He's flirting with me.
He is fully committed.
He's fully committed. Fully appreciate it.
Why are people afraid of commitment? I think especially here in San Francisco, people are just doing so much. They want to, they want to be successful in their careers. They want to be, you know, they want to travel the world. They want to go to Burning Man every year. They want to do yoga every day. They want to eat green smoothies every day. So people are just really involved in what they're doing, and so they don't want to make any sacrifices. But being in a relationship much more often than not does involve sacrifices of some kind. And so it's how do you bridge those two points of view?
I actually find this to be very unique to San Francisco, where this city attracts people who put their relationships in the back burner for a long time. So everybody concentrated on their careers. And all of a sudden, we're gathered in the city where a lot of us don't have much of a relationship history.
Right.
And now it's much harder for us to allow someone else into our lives and putting someone else as a priority. So it's not so much fear. It's almost like lacking the knowledge and lacking the experience to know what it's like to have someone else share our lives.
Yeah, that definitely puts people in a hard position of they want a good relationship, but they don't know what a good relationship is. So how do they find that, right? I think another aspect too is people are afraid of failure. And so if they put time and energy into a relationship, none of us know what's going to happen. Now, that's a very scary thought because people get emotionally invested and emotions are very powerful. I mean, that's how marketing and everything works, is through our emotions. And so when we start letting people play with those in a way, not necessarily play, but experience our emotions, that's when pain increases. And we as humans want to stay away from pain and go towards pleasure. And I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of.
Right. I think another thing that maybe is particular to San Francisco or even a lot of California is there's this whole mythology of you go out west to seek your fortune, and California is the land where infinite dreams come true, in Hollywood, Silicon Valley. Mm. And so there's this belief that, I'm young now and I'm going to work hard. And then finally, when I've made it, when I've gotten to the top of the world, when I'm, 30, 35, 40, like, okay, maybe then I'll think about settling down. And moreover, I'll settle down with somebody who like is the caliber of where I will be when I'm 50. Mm. And so, so people don't want to be committed now when they're like, okay, my life situation is going to be so much better when I'm in my 30s. So I'm not going to settle down as somebody that I can, that I can date when I'm in my 20s.
The problem with that though is it's always a slippery slope.
Always. Oh,
like you're never
slope.
In the place you want to be exactly, right? So no. It's always like, oh, another few years. Mm-hmm. And then
it creeps up on you.
It does. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. Don't forget to submit your stories. And remember, you can always be anonymous. We can change your name, change your voice, whatever. We want to make it safe and private.
Just like Samantha Jones.
We use protection. Again, submit your stories, but we also want to hear your comments on some of the topics we've been talking about. I'm sure you guys have a lot to contribute.
Yeah, what are you guys thinking? And also, one final thing,
stay dateable.
The Dateable podcast is recorded in San Francisco. We would like to thank our sponsor, 500 Brunches, for making this happen. To connect with us, visit dateablepodcast.com.